Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Couldn't post this or do this Wednesday. I was having dental work. And I was in a lot of pain. But I'm feeling a lot better. Not in as much pain, but pain kind of lets you know you're alive, huh? You know, I've been praying and seeking God's face on what to do next on this website. And Psalms keep coming to mind. The importance of Psalms, the book of Psalms. And I've never done a preaching series on Psalms, so this is going to be a first for me, and let's just go into Psalms. What I'm going to do is start with Psalm 1. I'll read Psalms 1, verse 1 through 6, and we'll see how far we can get. I'll try to keep these down to at least 30, 40 minutes, sound bites, but I can get long-winded sometimes. But I encourage you guys to join me in this journey of going through the Psalms. You know, when we look at Psalms, it means song of praise. That's beautiful. I love to praise and I love to worship, even on the mountaintop. But when I'm in those valleys, my praise and my worship is a little bit louder. Because within that pain and within that suffering in that valley is when we really learn the heart of God. See, if we did not suffer, if we didn't have pain in this life, we would never grow in Christ. Everything that is going on in our lives has a purpose and a reason, and some of it may be really hard to grasp. But there's a purpose through the pain. There's a purpose through the suffering. You know, I enjoy that song by Casting Crowns. Is praise you in the storm. You know, little storms come and they rattle us to our core. And we're laying there, and I've been there quite a few times, and I'm not immune from storms. I'm going through a few right now. Within that is, we have to get our minds away from ourselves. We have to focus our attention, our praise, our worship on the one and true God. We can learn a lot through these Psalms. And my prayer is that during this time, and we'll probably be going through this, there's a lot of Psalms, so probably all year. I pray that you guys get something from this. And I love to hear the feedback. If you guys have any feedback, I don't really get too many comments on my website. But that's okay. I mean, but I do like to hear from those. And if you have any questions, please ask them. If you don't want to do it through the website, you can private messages through Facebook or Twitter. You can go through Twitter. I have an Instagram account. So tonight we're looking at Psalms 1. We're going to read from verse 1 through 6. And it goes like this. Blessed the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do, he shall prosper. The ungodly are so, but they are chaff, with the wind drove away. Therefore the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for an opportunity, Lord, to get into your word, to learn more of what you have for us, to grasp our situations that we're going through, the suffering, the pain that we're experiencing in this life, knowing that we will not endure this forever. There is a day coming where all this will end. As we approach Easter Sunday, as the Resurrection Sunday, let's remember that promise that you rose, and that promise that you're coming back. And when you do, oh Lord, what is waiting for us is beyond what we can imagine. This life is just a speck compared to eternity. Lord, I pray that you just be with us once again through this study, that you guide and you direct this study. In your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. So Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Well, look at this. Look at the overarching theme. I would say it's two men, or you can say two women. Or you can just simply view them as individuals. Kind of put down to our terms. There are two ways. One is not a right way, and the one is a right way. That leads to two destinations. When we look at verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walked not in the counsel of the ungodly." You know, when we look at Psalms, we see, and of course, as you man here, but you can put women, a woman there, you can put an individual there. He's referring to all. But what he's talking about here, the main point, is a godly person and a ungodly person. A godly man and a godly woman does not seek or desire to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Cancel, that's a vice. We don't seek vice from the ungodly. You may look at that word ungodly and say, I don't really understand this word ungodly. We do not have to complicate that term. The Bible really hammers it out for us. It starts at the very beginning. Genesis 6:5, right? Noah's time. Genesis 5 says this, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his," or you could say her, "they were evil continuously," meaning it was rapid. They didn't have one good thought going into their mind. "And repent the Lord that he made man on earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the beasts, creeping things, the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And of course, as we continue, we see the Noah and his family building this ark. And it's believed by some historians there were others involved. But they didn't make it through it. It could be, and that's really going a little bit beyond the biblical, but when you look at the historical kind of viewpoint on that, and how Noah built the boat, he probably had help more than his sons and their wives and his wife. But the key here, Noah listened and obeyed God. And of course, we know as this historical accurate story begins or continues, the rain, it rains, and the flood, it floods. You know, we may not really understand what a flood is. And today we got the internet, we can look up floods and we can look up local floods. But this was a global flood and many died. Now, this world will want to tell you, and they tell our children this in the school when they're brainwashing them, that it was local floods, but I'll tell you it was a global flood. There's many that are well-respected scientists or I don't know what the field they would be called, maybe geology or something, that have PhDs and that refutes this and actually provides evidence that it was a global flood. I was reading one article, a man, he was talking to this guy, and he was a evolutionist, strong Darism, and you can look up Darism, that is a religion that's taught in our schools today, brainwashing our kids. The product of the younger generation is a product of the upbringing from the school system and the parents not standing in the gap and correcting that, and the church dropping the ball in educating our kids over our education system. But it was a global flood, guys. And many, many died. There was only 8 that was saved. The rest of the population perished. That's God's judgment, guys. It's for real. But what I want to bring to your attention is the imagination of the thoughts. They were evil, continuously evil. Meaning not one wanted to trust in God. Meaning not one wanted to believe in God. That Adam and Eve passed along to their children, and then their children passed it to their children. But there was a breakdown somewhere, right? Because the sin in the Garden of Eden, that sin that Adam and Eve committed, just increased. It's a cancer. It eats away. It eats away at you. It's eating away at this world. And whatever would come to mind, regardless that they were taught, they did not honor or respect God for who He is. They did everything that they wanted to do. They didn't care if it was against the body. Did not care if it felt good. They did it. Every imagination was evil. Evil is satanic. Evil is evil. It's not good. It's that darkness that seeps in and destroys the body. So you look at these guys that were denying God, their Father. And then they started making themselves gods. Sounds familiar. We can look at America today and see that. And there's the devil and his demons, right? Full range of the minds of that time as today. And the demons and the devils have not changed their game plan. So the game plan in Noah's time and the same game in today's time. They have not changed their game. The game plan works and they keep doing it. Matthew 24:37-39 says this, But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen, guys, it said, as the days of Noah, which is Noah. For as the days were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving marriage. They didn't care until the day that Noah entered into the ark and God closed that door. And then not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, right? With this verses, we conclude that everything that God calls evil in the New Testament, it was the same evil in the Old Testament. Evil just transferred over. It just continued. The evil in Noah's day is still the evil into our days. And that will continue to a point where it rocks our core. If it hasn't rocked your core yet, seatbelt up, it's coming. I believe we are under the judgment of God right now. Not the eschatology, the end time, but it's coming. Samuel tells us there's nothing new under the sun, meaning sin or sins that was popular then is popular now. Nothing has changed. Romans 1:18-32 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. Listen, guys, this word, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and the Godhead, so that they without excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their, was this their imaginations. And their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, professing themselves to be God, right? They became fools. We can see in Proverbs where it says, the fool says there is no God. That's what our education system says. And verse 23 says, change the glory of the uncrupled God into the engine made like to crupple man. They want to be gods, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between them. He changed the truth of God into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this is the cause gave them up to a foul affections. For even their women did change the natural use into what which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust one toward another. Speaking of homosexuality, man with man. And believe it or not, this translates really good in the Koine Greek. Don't let nobody tell you that the Greek breaks down to something different. There are pastors in this world that's trying to mask their sin. Deception is running rampant. The Bible says, the King James Bible is as close to the Greek as we can get it. To the Koine Greek, which is very accurate to the original manuscripts that was translated. Truth to the core, truth to everything. Jesus is the truth, right? Verse 28 says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. He said, I'm done with you, and gave them to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, investors, evil things, disobeying to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, impeccable, implacable, and merciful, who knows the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They are worthy of death. But not only do so, but have pleasure in them that do them. They want misery. Misery loves company, right? It's just not them turning from God and being anti-God, hating everything about God, loving their sin more than anything. Want to live in their sin, not away from their sins. It's not that. They want to recruit you. They want to brainwash you. And some is sad, and maybe most. They're sitting in our churches today within our pulpits, preaching these messages that make you feel good inside. I want to tell you, the end is drawing near, guys. The end game is almost here, and things will unfold. It will unfold, and it's unfolding in front of our eyes. We don't need to cancel the vice of the ungodly. All this ungodly, we should not conform to any of these acts. Why? Because a blessed man, a godly man or woman, does not seek or desire to blend into this world, right? We need to understand that that is Satan's world. This world should not be appealing to us. We should not conform to this world, right? This is Satan's world. You can see that in Matthew 4, 8 through 10. That's Matthew 4, 8 through 10. It goes like this. Against the devil, take him up to an exceeding high mountain, and sue him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and send unto them all these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, is written, I shall worship the Lord thy God. Worship, right? And him only shall thou serve. Satan wants to point your eyes to the treasures of this earth. The material things that we gain, that we believe that we deserve, that we believe that we earn, the achievements that will gain us fame or fortune. I'm going to tell you, it's sad to hear about celebrities out there that are spouting that they sold their souls to Satan. Recent one is Justin Timberlake. God, we pray for Justin Timberlake today, and we pray that he comes to his senses before it's too late. But there's many others. Miley Cyrus, you guys may not be very familiar with her, younger generation is. Lady Gaga, horrible. And there are preachers endorsing these individuals. We are supposed to still love, but we're not supposed to endorse evil. We're supposed to correct with love that will appear to be hate, but it will be in love, because we're not doing it to gain our knowledge or gain our fame. It's to reach them before it's too late. And they can say yes or no. They can look at you like you're stupid and walk away. That is their choice. We're not supposed to be part of this world, guys. We're not supposed to be part of the world system. Our focus as children of God should be more on God and His advice. And our eyes focusing on what we can do for Him in this lifetime. And then, of course, our true home, heaven. Romans 12:2 says this, And he be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 John 2:15 through 7 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. They are not of God, but is of the world. They are of Satan, of this world. We're not supposed to be of this world. The world pass away, and the lust thereof may be that he do the will of God and abide forever. Of course, you can look at John 17:14-19 continues with that. More into the world. We can really complicate this. Why? When we look at the root of America's issue, and of course, America churches, they love their sin. They love their sins. They do not believe that they need to repent for anything. They don't believe they're weak. They don't believe they need a Savior truly. They don't believe they need to surrender and count the cost. They a lot don't believe they are gods and they're above God and they command God. No, they believe that God is a genie in a bottle that will grant their every wish. I'm going to tell you, He is not a genie in the bottle. That's why the churches in America are crumbling. That's why Satan has infiltrated the majority of the churches in America, and people like me that are preaching against it, they are shunning. They don't want to hear the message. But that's their fall. They're filled with lukewarmness. They don't want to pay cost for anything. They want easy religion. They want easy Christianity. They do not want to pray. They do not want to seek God. I pray that America churches are rocked and shaken to the very core. Those that are not committed are scattered. Remove all the blessings from America. Remove all the blessings from the church. Leave us with nothing. Maybe we'll get the point. Whatever it takes, rock the churches in America. Change them. Revive them. If they don't want the change, remove them. So the true church of God can rise. Amen. We don't take a godly man, a godly woman of God. We do not heed. We do not take the advice of the ungodly. As we continue in that passage in Psalms. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Another part of that is nor stand in the way of the sinners. Nor stand in the way of the sinners. That's the next part. A blessed person, a godly person, did not stand in the way in the way of the sinners. Simply put, there are two paths. There are two ways. One leads to life everlasting, and the other leads to everlasting damnation. That life is heaven, and the everlasting damnation is hell. Matthew 7:13 through 14 said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, wide, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will go in thereat." This is the words of Jesus, and he says there is a gate, and this is a wide, and this is broad. And you may have heard sermons on this one. That broad way is the most popular. I label that as popular Christianity. Social gospel, the prosperity gospel. They're preaching something other than Jesus. And they want to go down that wide way, but see, the wide way is ungodly. The wide way is not God. And to me, their counsel is ungodly because they're not following the word of God. But there is a different way. Verse 14 said, "Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there will be there that find it." That find it. Jesus says there is a narrow way, and this leads to everlasting life. But Jesus says few there will find it, as the days of Noah, 8 were saved. I pray more will be saved in this next coming end time judgment, but we'll see. God knows your heart. He knows where you're at. I believe many are faking it today in the church. They walk out them doors, and their life looks just like the world's. That shows me that's a person that has truly not accepted Christ into their heart. They truly have not regenerated, meaning they have turned from their wicked ways and now will walk in the path that is hard to walk. But we don't have to do it alone, right? We do it with the strength of the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. As the time draws nearer and nearer, it will be harder to walk in that path. But if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, He will give you strength to endure to the end. The Bible said those that endure, that persevere to the end, will be saved. We got to keep stepping forward. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And there is no other way, period. Do not buy this garbage that the world wants to tell you. There are multiple ways to Jesus. The recent guy that showed his face, I never really watched him too much, Steve Harvey. Then I started doing some research on stuff he'd done. It's horrible. But he says there's multiple ways to Jesus. But I want to tell you there's only one way to Jesus, and it's through the Father. Because Jesus said I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father, not through nothing else. Through the Father. If you contradict this and you do not follow Scripture, you're lying to people. And those that are buying that lie, they got to realize these lies are from the devil. He wants you to feel that way. He wants you to think that you can have that path, that any way you want to go. He wants you to believe that you can live in your sin and have that dirty grace and that licensed sin. That's not how it works. When you're a child of God, you will rise. You will keep pressing forward. You will not seek a life that is shameful. Our way is different than the way of the sinners. I mean, when we sin or sin, the Holy Spirit corrects us. He scourges us. He chastens us. Without this, you are not a son or daughter of God. You are a child of Satan. The way of a true sinner is that they do not care about their repentance. Do not care about living a life that is different. They do not care how sin breaks God's heart. They want to do it anyway. That is their way. That is not our way. They want to go to that club, go out in town, and get drunk, fornicate, commit adultery. It's all good. No, it's not all good. A true Christian watches how the activities they go to. They watch what they say. They know others are watching, and they know their life should be pointing to God. And when we fail, God corrects us. Our lives are supposed to be different. We do not want to be different. You are not a child of God. You are a child of Satan. You see, man or women of God is blessed because we do not want to walk in the way of the sinners. We seek a different way that leads to everlasting life. That last part of verse 1. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Scornful. You see, the scornful are those that are anti-God. They not only deny God, but they exhibit a hate of God. And they want other people to follow them. They want to deny the word of God. And the world is full of the Antichrist spirit. From our education systems to the government, they want to call us that is true children of God who believe in the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, that still believes abortion is murder and that all lives matter, that still the Bible needs to be taught in our schools and prayer is needed in our schools. They want to call us extreme terrorists, extreme radical, hate mongers, racist hate mongers. We are living in the days of Noah. God is about done with this world. The wrath of God, the eschatology, the end time wrath is going to be horrible. They will cry and ask for forgiveness at that time. It will be over when his wrath falls. Their sounds, their voice, it will be muttered as the days of Noah and the flood came as they drowned in the water and screaming for help and calling at the ark. It was over. Today is the day of your salvation, right? We don't sit with those individuals. But instead, Psalms 1, 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law do he meditate day and night. That's what we're supposed to do. We delight, we find joy in the law of the Lord. We walk in step with day and night. We cannot get enough. And I love this illustration here. It says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bring forth his fruit in seasons. And his leaf also shall not wither. Whosoever he do shall prosper. Amen. You see, the word of God. We should hunger for the word of God. We should not go a day without studying our Bible, without learning scriptures, without breaking down the scriptures. I'll leave with that illustration and we'll pick up next week. On verse 3 where it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Wow. And whatsoever he do shall prosper. That's beautiful. Think of a strong tree by rivers. How them roots are firmly in the ground. And it brings forth fruit in his season. And his leaf shall not wither. There's a lot going on there, but I'm going to leave it at that tonight. The key take home tonight is of this Psalm, Psalm 1, two individuals. One is blessed, that's a godly man or woman, and the other is an ungodly man or woman with their own, and there are two ways, two destinies. Blessed man or woman will walk in the narrow way. It's not easy path, but they do. But they walk in it regardless. Their eyes are firmly placed on God and they seek to walk in the way that shows honor to the glory of God. They do not conform to this world, the sin or sins. That sin breaks their heart because sin breaks God's heart. We do not seek the advice of the ungodly. We seek the advice of our God. We seek a life in a heart of repentance and confession and asking forgiveness daily. God knows if you're faking it. True sorrow leads to repentance. You see, this world is Satan's world. And it's sad that many of the churches are now labeling sin within their churches as okay. But it's not okay. Lies are still lies, regardless how white you think they are. Fornication is still fornication. Adultery is still adultery. Sex is designed for marriage between a man and a woman, how God intended it from the beginning. How many sermons do you hear preached today on that? God has not changed His mind. We know He doesn't change. He is the same God that was of the Old Testament as the New Testament. What He calls sin in the Old Testament is still sin in the New Testament. It rolls over in that new covenant. Sin is still sin, right? Those that choose to compromise, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, taking the advice of the ungodly, they that choose to walk that way of the sinners and to sit with them in the seat of scornful. This wide and this broad way that leads to hell. I want to tell you, hell is not a wonderful place that you will go with your friends and drink a few beers and laugh about old times. You see, many preachers really don't get into the concept of hell. But the truth is, the place that we go now is a holding place. We call it Sheol. Sheol. That is hell right now for those that die. But see, there's a final resting place. There is a second death. And you can look it up. You can look it in scriptures. It's called the lake of fire. Lake of fire. And that will be worse. It's bad now. But it will be worse on that day. Hell is horrible. You can deny there's a hell to your blue in the face. It will not change reality. You make that choice. You try to go down that wide and broad way. You choose your path to hell. God gives you the opportunity to not go down that path. He gives you every opportunity that you need to make that decision. To make that choice. He already knows what you're going to do. But you have to say it. There is only way that leads to life, everlasting life, and to heaven, and that is Jesus. He is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life, right? As this Easter Sunday is coming up, this Resurrection Sunday, I pray that you guys make it to church and learn more about Jesus, right? Jesus, Son of God. What He had to endure. Friday's coming up. In the placement of the time period, some, but still, we know that He was crucified around this time. See, He had to endure the horrible, grotesque brutality, torment of the cross. The blood that was spilt, that fell to the ground. Not because anything He has done. It's because what we have done, our sins. You see, we got blood on our hands. That is the blood of Jesus. We're yelling, crucify Him. We don't want to view ourselves in that nature. Oh, we're better than everybody else. Oh, we wouldn't have done that if we were there. Yes, we would. We were no better. No better. We get arrogant. Thinking we wouldn't have said the same things. But then when we walk out the doors on Sunday and we live a life that is anti-God, not speaking the truth in our businesses and our education system, we are no better than those. Maybe worse. Maybe worse. How we're feared, having that spirit of fear to speak out to others because we may be viewed as extreme. I want to tell you, I will speak until my last breath, until I cannot speak no more, the word of God. If this upsets you, so be it. In America, in the churches, it's all about self, right? Core of flesh. Me, me, me. But at our core, we are murderers. Our blood's on our hands. But it is a cross. We see the grace and mercy of Jesus. It's at that cross we see that true love that this world cannot understand. And we know that his death on the cross. And we know he was placed in that tomb. And we know on that third day he rose from the grave. As we open our hearts to this fact. And yes, this is a fact. Through faith. For by grace are we saved through faith, is that Jesus wants everybody to come to him. Laying it all on the line, all good, bad, and ugly, because he knows all, he sees all. But it does not stop there. We recognize our need for Jesus and what he done for us. And we recognize our life is no longer ours. And we give it all and we surrender all that we have. Our old self is nailed to the cross and placed in that tomb. And we rise with new spirit, born again, right? We're no longer our old selves. We're new in Christ, and our new heart pumps for Jesus. We count the cost, and we do not love this world, the things of this world. We're willing to give it all up because we love Christ more than anything. We know we have a mission to go out into this world and tell this world about the love of Jesus. As godly men and women, we should not seek the advice of the ungodly. We should not walk the path that sinners do. Yes, we will sin, but the way we respond, see a sinner, true sinner that's not have given their heart to God, will keep on doing it. They will not feel a sense of repentance or turning from their sin. And we don't sit in those that are making fun of our God through the television to the internet. We don't entertain, and yes, through our education system when they're spouting evolution. We don't stand for it. But the sad truth is many are. And God will handle you as he sees fit. As we bow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach tonight through the dental pain and all. You gave me strength. I pray, Lord, give me strength as I continue to seek your face. Give me strength to be able to keep proclaiming your gospel regardless of what it may cost me. And I pray let these messages reach those around us. Let it inspire and motivate other preachers or other people in the church to have a boldness about them. To reach this world about God that will seek the advice of godly men and women. That will seek advice that will point others to Christ. That will not choose the way that is wide and narrow, but will go down that way that is narrow. That wide and broad path. That wide and broad way that leads to destruction. The ungodly will follow that path. Many will go down that path. My heart hurts how many there are in our churches are following that path right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we seek the narrow, the straight, the way that is rough and tough. But we know it's worth it all. Because what's waiting for us at the end of our lives? Lord, I pray that we stand when those around us mock our God. that we just don't be silent, but we speak with boldness in the name of Jesus, the truth, regardless what it may cost us to do. Lord, I pray that you just be with us as we go through this week, as we head into Saturday and Sunday. Lord, I pray that the pastors and the preachers, the Bible teachers, the evangelists, Lord, the prophets, Lord, I pray those are led by the Spirit, that will walk in the Spirit, that will seek your counsel, and that will seek your face to speak the word to a world that needs it, may not want to hear the truth, but they need to hear the truth. Our ways as men are wicked, but we know your way is beautiful. Your way leads to life. We know those that seek you truly and lean on your word and will delight in your word, Lord, that we will walk. We will be a tree planted by the rivers of living water. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Hope this was helpful tonight. It was my first attempt at Psalms, and we're going to go through this. If you guys have any questions, please contact me on my website. I had to remove my phone number because of threats. It seems like Satan's army is a lot stronger than God's army sometimes. Because Satan's army will speak louder. But we know Satan don't have no authority. It's just many of us are scared, I guess. I don't know. Lack the power thereof. But if y'all need anything, please contact me. You can contact me through Facebook. You can contact me through Twitter. I got a MeWe account, and I'm on Instagram. So there's multiple ways to contact me if you want to add me on Facebook. Add me. Just let me know that who you are and that you want to link Shields on Facebook, and I will keep you on my email list and my updates list, and pray that we join together and we stand. And if you truly are a child of God, I look forward to seeing you in heaven with me, and that's going to be a beautiful time, right, guys? So I love you guys. Y'all take it easy. Bye.